This Kennedy Malloy catch-up podcast means you can take the show with you anywhere. Industry super fund Lucraft Super make it easy for you to take your super with you when you change jobs. Read the PDS at lucrf.com.au/changingjobs. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, it is Kennedy Malloy. Welcome to the Big Thursday edition. Hello to you, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Dangerous Dave. How are you?
Michael, Jane, hello.
David.
It's all before, is it?
It is today. Why not, everyone?
Well, I tell you what, it's a special show, and in the second hour, we're throwing the format out the window.
Love that.
We've got Richard Lowenstein coming in,
who's
directed a new documentary about Michael Hutchence and NXS by proxy, I guess. It is called Mystify. It's right in the wheelhouse of Triple M.
I've seen it, Mick. It is an amazing documentary. One of the best docos I've ever seen.
Well, he's a great filmmaker, one of our greats, and he knows where all the bodies are buried
when it comes
to NXS. Yep. He was right in there. So I look forward to hearing from Richard a little later in the show.
That's exciting. Great. We've got a chat about Belle Gibson.
Now,
she's gone... Well, why are you looking at me like that?
If you go hard on her,
she's on your list, isn't she?
She's on my list.
Yeah.
She's had the crocodile tears today. Sorry to be tough.
Gee, women can be hard on other women.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm going to be.
I don't get it with Belle. I just one mistake that
one
anyone could have
slip
made.
Up.
And off you go. Okay. Hey, your boyfriend, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, what?
Well, when he's not boring everyone.
That's boring of yourself.
He might be a Time Person of the Year.
Well, he very well could be. There's a petition going around. I'm going to get everyone to sign it.
If you want a giant blonk on the cover.
Wow.
I'd personally rather go with Donald Trump.
Wow.
More charisma.
A little bit envious.
Hey, Russell Crowe got drunk and bought a $50,000 dinosaur head.
Well, I understand why you would do that. I think I got drunk and bought a dinosaur.
Yeah.
An actual dinosaur. But we're going to talk stories. What have you bought?
We do this occasionally. It's always fun.
There's good calls come through.
Scotty Pape.
Oh, yeah.
He's got cryptocurrencies. Is it Google? Who's got their own cryptocurrencies?
Facebook.
Yeah. Jeez, they're going to own the world, aren't they?
I don't like Facebook.
Why don't they just make an offer on Bitcoin?
Oh, that's still around, is it?
Still...
Is that still around?
Well, I never got my coin.
Be around till I get my dinner, toots. Oh. I've been watching Game of Thrones again. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. But in the meantime, and I am excited about speaking to Richard Lowenstein.
I really am too.
This will be a really important doco for anyone in the music business, and particularly this station. It's
One of the best bands, seriously, of all time in the world, NXS. Now, when you watch this doco and the songs come on... I got very emotional watching it, but I'll talk about it with Richard. I've got a lot to say about it, actually.
Right.
I won't say it all.
Good
now.
For you.
Yeah.
Hey, now, listen.
What?
Best behaviour from you tonight. We are going out for dinner with the boss.
Just are makes
we?
Me laugh that you would even suggest that I've never had...
We're going out for dinner with Fitz, a little glug-glug last time. Come on.
I don't think so.
Yes.
No.
You tried to pash him.
I did
you? That's a bit unprofessional.
Don't you ever suggest that I'm trying to seduce our boss.
Well, what's your new dress? I noticed you've got a new dress on.
Well, I'm glad you've gone to some effort. What have you got a jumper on from 1978?
Wow.
Is it a new dress?
Yes, it is a new dress.
Can I suggest something? Not short enough. You know, it's not Mad Men.
There's two hashtag #MeToo moments that have happened already in the space of a minute.
It's not Mad Men, but, you know, give us a little hint.
Well, it is it's sheer, and I was worried that the under the, you know, what do you call this?
Oh, yeah. Like a slip.
Right.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
Hey, a petticoat.
A Spencer.
Again, you're living in 1920 now. Petticoat. It is a slip.
You know what I used to say?
The slip's a bit short.
On bowling greens, if the girls, one of their petticoats was showing, someone would wander past and go, Merle, snowing down south.
That was
their way of letting you know your petticoat was showing.
Well, I hope not. Now, sorry.
I'm going to go berserk.
You're going to go berserk? What do you mean?
I'm going to order 10 lobsters. Mate,
Is he paying for it?
I'm going to hook this prick.
Yes, he is paying for it.
I'm going to order 10.
You have said you're going to order very expensive.
What's the most expensive dish you can order? What is it?
It would be a Wagyu beef dish, I imagine.
The whole cow?
Well, it's a big Wagyu. That can get right up there. It could be, you know, $500 a kilo, something like that.
Maybe anyway. He's not late, because the last time you and me were left sitting there, everyone thought we were on like an Ashley Madison style date. Now,
it was a bit embarrassing, actually.
Hey, and now listen.
We've had a few funny dinners with our boss, and there always seems to be someone. What, there was a couple that were sitting near us once. Did we send some food over to them, or did we harass them?
A bottle
of wine,
maybe a note.
I don't know. I thought you were trying to pick the girl up. She was on a date.
Oh,
and I was saying, can't do that. She's with a date with someone else.
She was hot. Hey, yep. But Jane, after dinner, there'll come a time we'll be polite for the women to leave, because. I mean, I imagine if it's like typical Triple M, we'll end up at the titties. So,
well, I'm coming then. I insist on being there. Come on. Fair's fair.
That's Triple M.
You and I are parody, so we'll just do that, won't we?
Are you taking plus one?
No. Well, you? Well, who are you taking?
Well, let's call it a Charlie Sheen plus one.
I'm not having dinner with any other person that I don't know.
All right, be on your best behaviour. Yeah.
Well, you too, and by the way. I haven't done my face yet.
What are you going to talk about? What sort of discussions are you going to bring up?
Get the Botox done before
that. Oh, no, I don't have enough time for that.
Talk about new staff, Dave.
Anchors?
Could come up.
Hey, anyway, I'm looking forward to that.
I am too. You're wearing that?
I look good. I'm turning heads.
No, come on. Tell you,
looks good. Bell Gibson. Did you see Bell Gibson walking out of court?
Well, let's talk about Bell and her current behaviour in court.
Right after this, thanks to Lucruf, an industry super fund, run only to benefit members. PDS at Lucruf, LUCRF.com.au.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
One of your girlfriends is in court at the moment. One of your girlfriends.
Right.
Bell Gibson. And she's meant to be paying back a $410,000 fine that she received.
Right. Yeah.
She's got very upset about it.
Oh, don't.
And reminded me that we haven't done this for a while.
Oh, don't do it.
Break out the tissues. We've got another Suki Lala. Someone new has gone the blub.
Oh, boy, has she gone the blub today.
You are unbelievable.
You've got a soft spot for her. You find her very attractive.
I love her.
She's exactly your type of woman. Yeah. She broke down today when being examined about work she had done via outsourcing platform Airtasker for an elderly woman. She did this work between July and September of 2017. She removed her glasses and wiped away tears when asked to give details of the care she was providing to a woman named Claire.
Good on you.
Then she said out loud.
It's a good egg.
She said, "This is what I'm saying about my empathetic nature." You can't say that about yourself, can you? She's crying in court. No, jury's not out. This is the problem.
I'm prepared to give her a break on this one.
Really?
Yeah, she's had a bad run.
What exactly is her bad run?
Well, look, I'd hate to say this, but her fake cancer could come back. She's in fake remission.
Every time I think of that, the hackles go up on the back of my neck.
Come on. I mean, we all make mistakes, and occasionally, you can't get bogged down in this stuff. You know
what
I'd like to see?
What about the luxury items that she spent?
I'd like to see her grow as a person.
Really? Well, she grew with all the luxury items she bought, that's for sure.
What are you saying? You're saying instead of paying back the $410,000
yes.
fine she received, she's lying to Australians and just running around the country.
Opening sports bets accounts and trading in cryptocurrency. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So you're tough. You're really tough. And I'm prepared to, you know what? Wipe the slate clean.
All right.
I'm prepared to wipe the slate clean. What do you think?
I'm not going on a double date with you if you go out with her.
Take her out tonight.
For God's sake.
I might bring her.
Don't you dare.
Plus one.
Don't you dare. I am not going to speak to her.
But are you prepared? Could you see it in your heart to see the suffering of
Do you know what I see? I feel like you're one of those women who go out with prisoners because they think they can change them. Is this what's happening?
Bell.
You could change Bell.
I really want to. I kind of like the fact that she lives on the edge.
Okay, good for you.
You know what? When you think about it, what's the crime?
Sorry, is that a statement?
What has she honestly done that's
You're right. You're right. She slipped up and she faked cancer and she stole heaps of money from people anyway. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Adorable.
But apart from all that.
Yeah. Oh, can we get on to Keanu Reeves now?
Oh, my God. Talking of other people who...
Well, come on.
He's had a good
This is the other end of the scale.
Okay.
This is somebody who's an upstanding citizen.
What is it about Keanu Reeves? Is that how you like your men? Big, dumb planks of wood that you can just...
You're so judgy. I never judge your women. And Keanu, because he's so good looking and such a great actor, he's an activist.
He's a great actor.
He's a great actor. That is such...
He was in Bill and Ted.
He was.
Come on.
He was in Parenthood.
He was in The Matrix.
He's a great front man. He's Dog Star too. John he's really Wick. Good.
You are so cliched to suggest that Keanu.
Keanu can't act.
That is rubbish. Don't say that. Jane, it's pathetic.
Jane, it's not pathetic.
Well, why does he keep getting jobs if he can't act?
Because
John Wick.
Women like you who are, what's the word I'm looking for? Shallow. Jane, just like a big hunk of concrete that they can ogle.
And this coming from Mick, who follows Instagram models from Brazil.
Brazil and parts of Germany at the moment.
All right, now, there's a petition to make him Times Person of the Year.
Have you signed that?
Yes, I have.
Jeez, he's hot right now again. Well,
he's hot again.
Never really been cold.
Do you know what? He's
right
not.
Now.
He's not vain. He's not up himself. He's not your cliched actor. He lays low. He just does good. People don't know that. He doesn't make a big song and dance like you do about every time you go on the TV or do something. Oh, look at me. He's very low key.
I put it to you. He's a bit of a simpleton.
I
come on.
I find that statement abhorrent.
He's not getting into Mensa.
He'll sue you.
He's down the dumber end.
See,
of
this
the
is
spectrum.
Where you're so stupid. He's probably
tell
got,
me about the rabbit. He's not.
I'm going
I don't
to.
Know how he learns
I'm
his
going
lines.
To contact him and find out what his IQ is. It's probably 160.
It'll still be lower than mine. It's only a couple.
You
of,
don't like it when I talk. You don't like that I like Keanu, do you? You get very uptight,
I
love it.
I just like razzing you about it.
Everybody, you can sign
Has
the petition.
She got a girlfriend? She got a partner. What's he doing?
None of your business.
Oh, is he possibly gay? Do you think?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I've never associated him with the love interest.
This He's is always what, had this women is, in his
this
life.
Say, dot, who? Name
never
one.
You mind. No.
He's gay and you don't like it.
I don't care if he's
Not
gay.
Not for you.
He
Jane,
is from, oh, now
I'm going to put it to you.
All right, I'm going to find out in this ad
it's like
break.
Like Valentino Rossi. You go, wow, Italian. He's a motorbike champion.
Swagger.
He's a swagger.
And what?
Never seen him with the
Well, how
supermodel.
Judgy are you?
Oh, I'm just,
Where are all your
no,
supermodels
it's not a
these
it's
days?
An observation.
Careful. Did you nearly swear then?
No. No, I'm just saying.
All right.
There's a chance, well, your dreamboat mightn't be.
My dreamboat will always be my dreamboat. You won't know. Thank you. Dave, over to you.
Oh, okay. More after this.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malone.
They've read every mag, tweet and blog and spoken to every unnamed source so you don't have to. Kennedy Malloy's Showbiz Report.
Oh, it's Kennedy Malloy's now.
That's right.
Oh, but it's about me.
No.
Am I the reporter?
I've crowbarred my way into it.
I'm so glad. I'm just so sick of carrying
that. I'm bringing my A game too. Look at this. Russell Crowe had dropped $50,000 on a dinosaur head he bought off Leonardo DiCaprio when he was drunk.
Now,
that's a good story
that is
on a number of levels.
A great story.
That's what you want from your movie stars and your rock stars. Frivolous purchases
Correct.
For a lot of money.
And it has to be to be that much.
It's a dinosaur head.
Yeah.
I'll give you $50,000.
Yep.
Sold. He wakes up in the morning, there's a dinosaur head at the foot of his bed. He's going, what the hell is that?
And
you bought it last night off Leonardo DiCaprio.
And I love the fact it was Leonardo DiCaprio as well, not just some regular bloke.
I bet you he gets to sell it back to Leonardo DiCaprio at some stage.
I'm sure.
For Might more. Have, he'll make a profit out of this.
I think he told the story to Howard Stern. Howard Stern's one of my heroes, by the way.
One of the great broadcasters.
Yeah. He's a great broadcaster.
Yes,
and I'm interested that Russell went on with him because Howard can be very, very harsh.
Mm.
But,
well, he can also get you to say stuff that you weren't expecting.
Wouldn't normally
to
say. Have we got a bit of Russell telling the story?
We do. Great.
Yeah, have a listen from Howard Stern.
You had once bought a dinosaur's head.
From Leonardo
DiCaprio, right?
Bought it for my kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, cut myself a little bit of slack. There was a bunch of vodka involved in that transaction.
So you were
and it happened at Leonardo's house.
You were drinking at Leonardo's house. Mm. You guys were having a fun night.
Yep.
And you say to Leonardo, gee, this is fantastic, this dinosaur.
No, I think he started the conversation. He's like, I've got this one, but there's another one come on the market I really want, so I'm trying to sell that one. I said, I'll buy it.
And so there's no negotiating. He names a price and you buy it.
Yeah, well, he was pretty cool about it. He said, just give me what I paid for it. And I think he paid like $30,000 or $35,000 or something.
I thought we were talking even bigger money than that.
No, it was not a very popular dinosaur.
Oh, it was just one of those regular dinosaurs. I mean, because it's such an unusual item.
My kids, particularly my eldest, were like fascinated and they're into dinosaurs. So there you go, here's one for the playroom.
Jeez. That's a pretty good tale, good drunk spying story.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
He ended up selling it later on, and when Russell had the big auction of all his stuff. Remember when Russell...
Oh, did he?
Yes, I think
he
put it up
for
auction. Yeah,
what did he get for it?
Well, I think probably about the same price.
No, I want to find out. What did he get for it? I would have put a bid in.
Well, text him.
Dinosaur head.
Find out.
Well, I will. I'll wait till he's drunk.
You could buy it. And then I'll get it.
Now, we've done this before. What have you purchased while you were drunk? 133353. You, what did you buy?
I bought Robert Allenby's golf clubs at an auction. My father now has them, and he doesn't play a lot of golf.
All right. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, it was the trip to Hawaii.
What was it?
The trip to Hawaii.
Oh, that was a good one.
Family holiday, which we love, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good purchase.
Why don't we go...
Shall we try Trent?
Trent, let's try Trent.
Trent, what did you buy when you were a bit...
Well, actually, Mick would understand. It was his favourite brew, so I was under the influence a little bit, and I brought a car.
All right, as long as you didn't drive that car while you were under the
What were the circumstances, Trent?
Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time, and I brought the car and took it to get the roadworthy, and it blew up on the way to getting the roadworthy.
When you were, you'd had a few, did you see it in a car yard or on eBay?
A friend thought it was a good car. It sort of seemed like a good idea, and, you know, after a few brewskis, you just do what you do, and...
You bought a car.
And suddenly I've got the car.
So good. Okay. Hey, sell it as a lemon to someone else.
Thank you,
Trent. Get one of your other friends.
Hey, Ben. I like Ben's. Ben, what did you buy?
I bought a Rolex.
Wow. Okay. Now, these can get up in price.
How much?
$35,000.
Whoa.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to ask you this one question. Did you buy it in Bali?
You've really been ripped off.
You're in a lot of trouble.
I bought plenty of those Rolexes in Bali, but no, I bought it here in Australia, and I was very poor after that transaction.
From a dealer or from...
Oh, yeah. It was the real deal.
Have you still got it?
Yeah, I do.
Mate, that is going to be more expensive than a house these days.
Can I say something? You won't go wrong with that.
You won't go wrong.
It will actually pay you back. Just don't lose it. Don't put it in a poker game.
No, keep it forever, mate. Otherwise, Mick will buy it from you.
Let's just say, I guess it was the right time.
And don't do what the high rollers do.
You've just done a bad pun joke. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
I guess it was the right time.
Because it's...
Okay, mate.
We don't allow puns on this show, Ben. Do you know that?
And Ben, be careful, because you know this is what happens to high rollers when they hire in. The Rolex is always stolen.
That's true.
My advice, don't take it off.
Careful. Hey, look, we want to find out. Thank you very much, Ben. Give us a call now on 133353. What have you bought?
I bought a painting from Paris.
A what?
You bought a painting?
Yeah, a painting from Paris.
From Paris?
Well, yeah.
Were you in Paris?
No, it was in a gallery. I'd looked it up online.
Really? First of all...
Early in the morning, it was about 4 o'clock.
I can't even believe you know how to look up things online. That's the first thing that shocks me.
Hey, that dinosaur head sold for $79,300.
He's turned a profit!
Yeah,
there you go.
He
made a profit!
He did indeed. Jeez, Russell Christ.
Good on you, Russell.
Drunk purchasers, give us a ring. 1-3-3-5-3.
That dinosaur skull wouldn't be as big as his. Russell has a very big conk.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, Russell Crowe got drunk and bought a dinosaur head from Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, I love the whole story. He was actually at Leonardo's house on the Vodies.
What's that? I'll have it.
Yes, you guys got this.
Plus shipping. do you know what? I'll tell you what's going to happen. About 3 billion years from now, someone's going to be paying a lot of money for Russell Crowe's skull.
This is a gladiator.
Geez, have a look at this thing.
Big noggin, too.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
man.
Funny.
So we'll do that. So I've got us thinking, what have you bought when you're drunk?
Yep.
We've all done it, drunk purchases.
I've banned a lot of sports memorabilia in our house. We've got a lot of pictures of sports people.
Yeah.
And
I woke up and there was a seat from the Jack Titus stand at the end of my bed.
Which is a football ground in Victoria.
Punt Road,
Wow. Still there?
I thought off.
Where is it?
I hope I haven't nicked that. No, it's still there. Hey, let's see what you bought when you were drunk. Shane, what'd you do?
G'day, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Good.
Hey, my wife and I went out one night with another couple and we'd gotten rid of the kids and ended up back at their place with a few frothies and a couple of bottles of wine and woke up the next morning and sort of looked at each other strangely across the breakfast table and thought, we actually did something last night.
Well, hang on. Is this, we've got kids in the car. This isn't a keys in the bowl thing, is it, Shane?
No keys in the bowl thing, but we got the iPads out and sort of recollected booking something. We actually booked tickets and accommodation for 9 for Bali.
Oh, righto.
Was that... you have no recollection.
You've booked for everyone.
Oh, we were sort of a bit hazy, but we thought we'd done something, but... yeah, the frothies and that obviously...
Did you go on the holiday?
We did. Had a ball.
Did you get your money's worth? Yeah.
Sorry?
Did you get your money's worth?
We did get our money's worth, mate.
Did you stay sober in Bali? He gets drunk before he goes to Bali and then stays sober.
Bang. Don't worry about that.
All right, Shane, well done. Brett's on the line. Brett.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Good. What'd you buy when you were drunk?
Oh, I've got a tendency when I've been drunk a few times of going to my local pizza shop. And I'm ordering the hottest pizza he can make me. And so far, I've got 2 bites in on all those occasions. And but there's a lasting memory the next day. I can.
Oh, okay, Brett.
Hang on, but Brett.
Yeah,
so
why?
So it's like a challenge. Yeah. You make me the hottest pizza you can make, and I'm going to eat it. Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. He actually stands at the window because I stumble outside and eat it out on the bus stop. And he just stands there pissing himself laughing at me.
Brett. You know what? Give him a prize.
Yeah. You got tickets to U2, Brett.
Yeah, Brett. Baby.
The Joshua Tree Tour is coming to Australia this November. Tickets on sale through livenation.com.au.
But, I'm going to reward that behaviour.
I reward that too. I think that's inventive.
Like he keeps coming back for more.
Yeah.
Look out. Here he comes. It's Brett. Yeah. Let's see how hot he wants his pizza.
It's nothing like the self-challenge. Good on you, Brett.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, let's have a chat with Joel. Joel. This is very interesting. What have you done in Chinatown when you've had a few?
So I was young and we were heading out to a nightclub and basically I was doing a bit of window shopping and seen a nice live lobster in the window there of a Chinese restaurant.
Yep.
And I thought, you know what, I'm going to buy that.
Yeah.
So I basically just went in there and bought it and walked around the streets with it in my hand and I lined up to this nightclub, tried to get into a nightclub at Billboards there and got to the front and the bouncer's like, you are definitely not getting in.
So you didn't buy it to eat.
You just bought it to walk around with.
I'll have it to go. And you took it out and it was your plus one.
Exactly. So I tried to persuade the bouncer by saying, you know, I'll leave it in the cloakroom and I'll get it on the way out. But he's like, nah, you're not coming in with that, mate.
Joel, what was the fate of the said lobster? Can you remember?
Oh, I don't know. It just looked nice, yeah.
You should have said, I just found this in my underpants.
Thank you, Joel.
That impressed the girls.
That's pretty ridiculous. Hey, Dave, what do you do when you'd had a few grogs?
Hi, Jane. Hi. I went to one of those nights, was hosted by Mark Jackson and Warwick Capper,
yes.
And they had a memorabilia.
Oh. I know that night. It was Mark Jackson, Chopper Reed, and Roger Rogerson.
Yeah, no, that's what I bought. I bought an autographed picture by Jacko, but it was of those three.
That is the weirdest trio of all time.
I know. So I paid $130 for it. And,
what?
Yeah.
How many had you had, Dave?
That's like a wanted poster.
Yeah.
It was cool. They had something on like the Three Amigos or something like
oh
that.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Do you know what? That's probably worth money. I would sit on that. Put it away. You never know.
That's pretty funny, Dave. Thanks for calling up.
I like it.
We finished with Damien. We've got time.
Let's do it.
Hey, Damien, what do you do?
G'day, guys. On my 22nd birthday, I bought an Iron Man motorbike helmet.
Wow.
Oh, Damien.
How old are you, Damien?
Well, I was 22 and I'm very drunk.
First of all, $400 feels a little excessive for a motorbike helmet. The fact that it's Iron Man, did it literally have that sort of look that Iron Man wears?
It looks exactly like the headpiece of Iron Man.
Oh, that's pretty embarrassing, surely.
No, well, the embarrassing part is you can't legally use it in Australia, first of all.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, so that was a letdown. But second of all, I didn't have a motorbike license or a motorbike.
Well, that's a trifecta. Prize, you get a prize too, Damien.
Prize pack for you, Damien.
Hey, thanks everyone for calling up.
How much are you going to
You make us proud.
How much do I get for the shit scared helmet?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that should be in
have
a museum.
Have you still got it?
Oh, yeah.
You got it?
It comes out in the boudoir.
Oh, my God.
Jeez, there's one for the ladies.
Why do I ask these questions?
All right, Scott Pape, the Barefoot Investor, coming up.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
The last time our finance guru, Scott Pape, was on the show, somehow he became mixed tech support.
How do I download an app?
Oh, my God. Don't answer that, Papey.
How do I...
He's not joking, Scott. This is a problem we have to work on.
Should I contact Apple directly or...
Give Apple a call.
So the upcoming discussion on Facebook's push into crypto should be interesting. Please welcome back Scott Pape.
Hello, Scott Pape. How are you this afternoon?
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey,
how are you?
Good, thanks. Hey, Scott, I really hate Facebook. Now what are they doing? They're getting cryptocurrency.
She's hard to read, Jane Kennedy, isn't she?
Very hard to read. So let's back it up. So Facebook has announced it's creating its own cryptocurrency called Libra. Now, when most people hear the word cryptocurrency, they think of, obviously, Bitcoin. They are not the same. So Facebook's Libra is designed to be a really stable payment platform. And as we all know, Bitcoin and Bitcoin are as unstable as their founders.
And what gives them stability? What is it? Are all the big boys involved? Are like MasterCard and all those things backing this?
MasterCard, Visa, Spotify, Uber. They've got lots of players there. Obviously, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook realise that we don't really trust them. So maybe there's a safety in numbers. But basically, they're going to create a digital wallet called Calibri, and they're going to open it up to what they plan is their 2.7 billion users. So the goal is, according to the company, to make sending money as easy as sending
a text message. Facebook to do that.
Can I ask you this, Scott?
Domination is what they want.
Can you put a dinger in your digital wallet?
Scott. Scott.
That's 30 seconds. That is a new record.
Papi, are you telling me they're becoming a bank? Is that Facebook becoming a bank?
No. What they're looking to be a payment platform that sits along over the top of this. But basically,
and what's in it for them?
Well, my view is they're modelling themselves on a company called WeChat. So WeChat is the Chinese version of Facebook and Google and Twitter and YouTube all rolled into one. So it digitally dominates everyday life in China. So basically, you can order a meal in a restaurant with WeChat. You can split the bill with your mates. You can pay your share and take a photo all on WeChat. That is what Mark Zuckerberg wants.
Wow.
He wants payments all baked into Messenger, Instagram and WhatsApp, which he all owns. Personally, do I think it will succeed? I think Facebook, I'm with you, Jane, they are corporate creeps and I don't trust Zuckerberg as far as I could kick him.
Thanks, Papey. Also, what's the average age group, do you think? Because my understanding, I'm not sure, but I feel like it's an older demographic. Now, when you start dealing in cryptocurrency and things like that, I wouldn't have thought the older demographic trust this.
Well, it's going to be backed by normal. You'll buy it with dollars. So this isn't like it's not like Bitcoin. It's not like
it's not
Bitcoin.
Virtual.
It's supposed to be very, very stable, and I think it will. The jury is out as to whether people will trust Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram in order to do this. I think the idea that we will have a global currency at some point is, I think that's absolutely going to happen, whether it's with Facebook or with somebody else. I think if you look at WeChat in China, that is the model that everyone's going for. Right. And it is, in my view, a bit of a scary development.
I agree.
Can I ask you this? Would Facebook take my crypto IOU?
not if it's Bitcoin.
I introduced a crypto IOU, could I make big bucks?
No. You
never back my ideas.
No.
Papey, I've heard a scary rumour about cash in hand and tax departments.
Is it tax time, is it?
Can I tell you this? This is an exclusive. I actually spoke to the tax office about a week ago, and they confirmed to me that they will send out 1 million please explain letters this year. 1 million. You think Mark Zuckerberg knows more about you than your mum does? The ATO is a close second, my friends. They are data matching everything. They know exactly what's going on. And if you are doing the old cash in hand, the old slab economy,
how do they know?
Know about it?
How do they know?
because they are checking your bank accounts, they're checking your property records, they're checking your Centrelink.
That sense of panic in your voice.
How's this? I've been told that they are looking at even comedians that do cash in hand jobs. Oh. You know, they might do a gig or something, and they say, "Hang on, where are you getting the money for all those beers? It's not going through your bank. Where are you getting that?"
Well,
money?
That sounds pretty mean. We're always lovely to the tax department, and we respect them very much.
So you're taxing laughter. Well done, everybody. You are taxing laughter.
I would say is that if you don't need a receipt for claims up to $300, but you do need to be related to your occupation. They can't be reimbursed by your boss. Yeah. They need to be real, and you've got to have the receipt.
Luckily, I do all my comedy work pro bono. hey, Papy.
Yes.
Congratulations on the continued success of the book, The Barefoot Investor. Only money guide you'll ever need. And well done for all the work you're doing with schools and school children around the nation, donating books. And I believe you gave out about 20,000 to families who couldn't afford them. So
certainly did.
Yeah, that's good for you. And with kids, that should be part of an education, right?
Well, absolutely. It is, because it's very important. And also you make it really simple for people. I don't mean to be rude when I say that, but it's not that tricky, is it, Papy?
Well, as long as you're not investing in Bitcoin, everything is good.
I want to get into some cryptocurrency. Okay, so how do I send that?
Listen, is there an app? You're going to have to take him out for dinner, Scotty.
Do I Google it?
I'll get the receipts. Thanks, guys.
Alrighty.
See ya.
Scott Pape, the Barefoot Investor, joining us there.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Great front bar last night, Mickey. I really
Thank
enjoyed
you.
It.
Oh, you're very kind.
Good
it was
show.
Dominated.
You could see it.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I tell you what, though. I went straight home.
Did you?
And watched episode one of season three.
I didn't think you'd be still persisting.
Of Game of Thrones.
This is a nightmare.
So everyone out there, if you run into me, I'm only up to episode one.
So what's
season
the idea?
Three.
There's a bunch of kingdoms or something.
I know. Yeah. So if anyone who doesn't know, there's seven kingdoms.
Seven kingdoms.
Right, and there's only one throne.
Oh,
it's an iron throne.
You do the math.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting heartburn.
Eventually, you have
this.
To. Anyway, I hope I haven't spoiled it for anyone. But last night, what a cracking way.
An opener for Series 3.
So,
remind me, because I saw it about 18 years ago.
Sam was attacked by a White Walker.
Oh, yeah.
And then the wolf. Then the wolf, Ghost.
Ghost?
Oh, Ghost
now
saved
I'm
the
interested.
Day.
The dire wolf saved the day, yes.
The dwarf's copping a hard time.
From
He's
his dad.
He's disinherited by the old man.
Oh.
Just call him Tyrion, please.
Call
him Tyrion.
You're a midget.
Well, what did his
that's
father?
His name.
What's his father
he's,
calling
he's
him in these days?
A spiteful little creature. I think is the term he used.
Yeah, that's
hey, tough. Those dragons are getting bigger. They're kind of the size of a small chihuahua. Now, is that it?
I can't remember. Are they flying at this stage?
Do they fly?
Oh, spoiler alert!
Thanks, Jane.
Jeez.
Sorry.
Good on you. What's wrong with you? How many times have I said it?
Isn't this the episode that Jon Snow gets with Ygritte?
No, that's happened already. No, this is the Unsullied tune-up. Guess what? No dick and balls. Does anyone in this series have dick and balls?
What do you mean?
They get chopped off.
The Unsullied don't have them. Wow. There's 8,000 soldiers. Cop this. 8,000 soldiers, no dick and balls.
Oh, wow.
Which makes me think somewhere there's 8,000 dicks. Like sitting in a big pile somewhere.
Jeez.
I mean, not on a tip somewhere.
Do you think about stuff like that?
No, imagine, I don't think things like that.
Just
only
look
you
for the
do.
Circling seagulls. I'd suggest that you might find a way.
Thank you for that. Is that it?
8,000.
Still going.
That was a good episode.
All right.
But if you see
That's
me,
enough.
To, if you see me to, out tonight, and you've seen episode two,
don't spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
You might see someone out at your dinner tonight that might spoil it.
Yeah. No one in their right mind is going to
do
spoil it because
fly?
Everybody's seen it.
They actually fly.
Yes.
What about fire?
All right, stand by. Richard Lowenstein coming up on Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
That's right, people, and normally there's a whole heap of hoo-ha from us, but we've thrown it out the window today and we've turned the second hour of the program over to a special 1 hour with Richard Lowenstein, who's just made a documentary called Mystify. It's all about Michael Hutchence. Let's get straight into it.
Richard Lowenstein has worked with some big bands.
Yeah.
Directing video clips for Cold Chisel, Pete Townsend, Crowded House, and this one for U2. But perhaps his greatest collaborations have been with In Excess and Michael Hutchence, directing so many of their film clips and, of course, casting Michael in his 1986 film, Dogs in Space.
I need perfection.
On July 4th, he releases what is no doubt a very personal film, Mystify, an intimate look at the life of Michael Hutchence.
You know, when there's one person in a room that has a special light, that was him.
He was the complete package.
And everyone wanted a piece of him.
It's a journey into the heart and soul of Michael.
He was a shy kid.
Using his home movies and those of his friends, family and lovers.
If you're a sensual being, all of your senses need stimulation. A lot of it was based around pleasure, let's face it.
Here for the next hour to talk about the film and play some of the music, please welcome Richard Lowenstein.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome, Richard, to Kennedy Malloy.
Thanks for having
me on. Good to see you again. Yes. We used to be neighbours, Jane. In another time.
We did.
We had a bit of a Ramsey Street going.
I'm trying to go back in time and look at the two of you, very handsome gentlemen, and imagine you back in the day.
Richard, it was a wild time.
Reprobates. I was the serious landlord for a whole bunch of reprobates, including Noah Taylor and Terry Serio and Renato.
Sophie Lee was floating around.
Hell down there. And it was
Justine Clark.
Yeah, and I had to be the serious adult.
You seem very responsible now, Richard. Were you always like that?
He used to come out and go, everybody inside, it's dark. We'd all have to go and have a shower and go to bed.
Even in the Dogs in Space house, I was the one they hid the drug tape. They sort of like going, we're taking our drugs, but don't let Richard know.
But you knew all along what was going on, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, you're pretty astute.
Well, I think it was around that time that through that group, possibly yourself, I think it was, that I met Michael Hutchence for the very first time. Yes. And I have to say, I honestly mean it, I've never met a nicer man in all the world. He's just an absolute treat. It was fun to be around. A team player. It was just an absolute joy.
That's a great introduction to talk about Michael Meek, because you have made a film about Michael, which I've seen, Richard, and that is the lasting impression I walk away with, that he was just a beautiful man.
Yes, he was just a genial, you know, no pretensions, which is very rare for Melbourne, because it's full of pretensions, you know. In fact,
Maybe it just seemed that way because we were also pretentious.
Oh, yeah, I was absolutely pretentious when I first met him. I was, you know, a pale, wasted punk with three colours in my hair.
Did he call you out on that at the time?
No, he just looks you in the eye and smiles, and you're sort of like, I'm sucking my cheeks in and sort of trying to look like Spandau Ballet or something. And he's basically just is normal, and I better be normal. And then, like, 2 days later, we're snorkeling off the Barrier Reef, which Melbourne people tend not to, or Melbourne punks tend not to do.
Yeah, no, it's anything that gives you a tan, Melbourne punks would avoid.
The other thing that was immediately apparent, and I don't mean to demean what it was his natural skill, but he was laboratory built to be a rock star. This guy is the complete package, I think, was the term used in there. It's just like a freak of nature of some description. Of course. It's just flawless.
Well, the perfect front man and actor.
It's flawless.
Yeah. And when he got on stage, he just transformed into that performer. And, you know, he would even talk about it. He just said, those steps I walk up, it's sort of like every step I transform into this person that I kind of don't even recognise. Then he comes off and he goes, how was that? Was that all right?
So I reflect now, because I have watched this documentary, congratulations. It's a really moving, beautifully made, insightful and different type of documentary.
Mm.
And the reason I say different is because there's so many voices involved of people who really knew Michael. One of the great things, you don't see these people. The only person you really see the whole time is Michael Hutchence.
Mm.
You hear people reflecting. Can you explain why you did it that way and you didn't have these people on camera? Because it's very interesting, I think.
Well, I absolutely didn't want people there going, he hasn't aged too well, or she has aged very well.
But it's a very clever thing to do in a documentary style, because you would start to judge people. If you saw Kylie Minogue now at 50, when you see, but hear Kylie, it's incredible.
Absolutely. And I really, you know, I mean, that's the flippant answer, but the real answer is I wanted to take you back in time.
Mm.
And And having those talking heads, you know, 2019 talking heads, they really pull you out of the story. They pull you forward and they go, oh, we're telling this story about the past, but I actually wanted you to go through and see what Michael saw, which was, you know, a lot of it's shot by him. It's his camera up against his eye and, you know, you sort of, you see Kylie through his eyes. And then they grab the camera, so Mike, Michelle or Kylie or Helena, and then you see him through their eyes.
And I hear all the people who are involved in this started sending in their own footage. Is that right?
Yeah.
Like, well, all the principal characters going, come on, you can have this and this and this, which is incredible.
Well, they trusted you with it.
They did trust me. I mean, Rhett just appeared on our doorstep with, you know, 24 hours notice, which is a very Hutchins family trait. And with a suitcase full of tapes and stills and everything. And we just sat there digitizing, and he was watching. He's going, oh, actually, not that bit. That's a bit naughty, you know.
Hey, we've got to step back in time now and play our first song, which is Burn For You, which was your first – was this the first clip you did?
The first clip.
With In Excess, and you won an award for this?
We did win an award, and it was the snorkeling off the Barrier Reef clip.
The Barrier Reef, so it came good.
I was going to say, and how did you get the idea for this? But obviously, through practical reasons.
It was chaotic. It was just like I was due to go to the Cannes Film Festival with my first film, and then this
Strike Bound,
and this mad manager rang up and said, you know, they'd seen the Hunters and Collectors talking to a stranger, and they said, we want one of them. And I'm going, it doesn't happen that easily.
God, those days.
Yeah.
We're going to play Burn For You and we're going to come back and talk off the back of it about those early
days. What a great
song,
everyone.
MTV, the start of MTV.
Yes, it was,
did you get banned from MTV?
I think we did. Yeah, we got the gift. How did you know that?
Richard Lowenstein is with us. Mystify Michael Hutchins in cinemas July 4. More after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
The amount of experience that we go through in doing what we do is many lifetimes. The problem is holding on to a fixed point for long enough to understand it. All fails in this.
You know, when there's one person in the room that has a special light, that was him.
He was the complete package.
And everyone wanted a piece of him.
Michael always had that aura about him.
If you're a sensual being, all of your senses need stimulation. A lot of it was based around pleasure, let's face it.
I don't like the idea of gold. I don't like the idea of success.
He actually wanted to be an artist.
I think it confused him whether he wanted to take on being Michael Hutchins.
It started to take its toll on him.
We were riding home on our bikes. This insane taxi driver got out of his car and punched him.
And right from the get-go, Michael was kind of different. I just felt this incredible, overwhelming sense of sadness. This is not the Michael that I know.
He was a shy kid. I was standing. He didn't want to walk into a room full of people, let alone see him.
Anticipation. Anxiety attack.
I remember asking Michael what his definition of rock and roll was. He said, liberation.
Sometimes your stars line up and everything in life clicks. And sometimes you're fighting against nature itself.
Mystify Michael Hutchins in cinemas July 4. Richard Lowenstein is our very special guest director of that movie documentary, joining Kennedy Malloy.
We played Burn For You. This was your first collaboration with Michael and INXS. You're off to MTV. You got banned from MTV. These were heady days, obviously. Mm-hmm. The band's getting out of the ground. You think you can take on the world. You go to America. It's a bit more conservative than you possibly understood. Even the youth network, MTV, has some hard and fast rules.
Yes, they censored certain images that we had. And, you know, I think even Suicide Blonde, they came back and said, can you put blonde girls on top of it? And I filmed that.
Because,
you know, they thought it was about suicide.
You burned an American flag, I believe, at one instance. And that was told.
That's sacrilege.
That's not happening.
Way of the World, that got
Was
censored.
There another? Was there something
there else? There was a crucifixion in the... Okay,
oh, you're pressing all the right buttons.
There was a crucifixion in the...
Trying to get banned, weren't you, Richard?
In the gift, and I had to put a big black, you know, censored sign over the top of it as the, you know, there was a lot of stuff,
All credit to the Farris brothers. Most long-term bands all start as friends. It's very organic, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I mean, it's a bit of a cliche story. They're playing in the garage and...
It's cliche, but true.
Yeah, it is true, yeah. I mean, when we were cutting the film, the English producer who's, you know, won a couple of Oscars and BAFTAs, he kept saying, can you just lose all that cliche stuff about the garage? And I'm going...
It's so real and rings so... It's so true with these Farris brothers who are mates with Michael and recognise that he could be a great frontman, and he was a bloody good singer. Now, this is another thing.
And they go on to become, at one stage, the biggest band in the
world.
There was a window there where they were the biggest.
Yes, there were. U2 and them were neck and neck in 86, 87 at Kick, and, you know, the MTV Awards, I think, INXS swept the pool, and INXS were all there. U2 were all there expecting them to sweep the pool, and literally INXS walked off with 7 awards, I think, and then...
Can I tell you a Bono story I heard? Yeah. You might know the answer to this, but someone heard saw Bono backstage before going on a concert, and he had like a Walkman, I think it was, in those days, and he was listening to headphones. He pulled it off just before he went on stage, and someone went up and listened, and he was listening to Michael
Hutchins
and INXS.
Oh, absolutely. I'd say that was true. But also,
they became good friends, though, yes.
They did become good friends, but also in the film, there's Michael with his cowboy hat on. That was 3 years before Bono decided to go cowboy.
I could see.
Rattle and hum. It was, you know, he pulled out the, in my video, he pulled out the cowboy hat, and that was a Michael thing.
I've got to get to this point, too. I said in the office today after watching it, and Mick will find me very shallow. He does find me as a shallow woman. But Michael Hutchins, when you see him, is one of the sexiest men I've ever seen in my life and enigmatic. And I can understand why he dated some of the world's most beautiful women.
Jane, he struggled with the ladies. Is that a fair comment, Richard? Wasn't his strong suit?
But he had a sweetness, yes, as well, as being hot and those eyes. Wow.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't just... confined to one gender as well. I mean, men found him sexy as well. And it was like, he's not the most macho of men, but he's not effeminate. He's feminine, but
he was on our list of guys we'd secretly love to be. Well, not so secretly.
Indeed. And there was a lot of male connection. I mean, I think one of his band members used to say, you know, Michael would flirt with anything. He'd flirt with a rock if he could.
Well, what makes him so different, and this is my observation after seeing the film, and I did know, I think I recall this in knowing about Michael's past, but he had an unusual upbringing. It was quite an international upbringing, and that perhaps shaped him.
Absolutely. And it gave him an international perspective, but also, you know, I think when they first went to America, because of his accent and slight Hong Kong English accent, they didn't actually know he was Australian.
Right.
And they thought, they kept saying, oh, INXS, that English band, which at that time was very hip, being an English New Romantic band.
Yes.
And it actually helped them. But, yeah, he grew up in Hong Kong.
There was a sense of mystery about him as well.
Absolutely.
His songwriting skills were extraordinary. Well, he was a poet, really, wasn't he?
That's how he started off with his... The first girlfriend who we found is in the film before Michelle Bennett, you know, she was a writer.
She was great.
And she's now a successful writer, author, you know. And but they had this dream of, you know, going to Amsterdam and struggling in a garret in Amsterdam, and he would write poetry and she would write novels and, you know... And then the lure of the crowd, I think, pulled Michael away.
We'll give that one a miss. Yeah. did you include in the doco the scene where Helena Christensen tapped me on the bottom twice? Or did that not make it?
Hang on.
Are you sure you didn't fantasize or dream this?
Why would I make that up?
She did not include that in her interview.
You have to get her to put that film forward.
Where did that happen?
I don't like going into it because it doesn't reflect.
Another beautiful woman. You know, he did have great romances. We'll talk about those in the next as we come up and keep talking.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that life-changing incident, which is not far down the track, because you know what? I still think there's a lot of people out there unaware
I think you're right, Mick, of what happened to Michael.
What happened to Michael in his journey. Let's go to this one. Now, this is another one you work together on. Is that my right, Dave?
Oh, we're going to go to a break first, but then we're going to come back with it as well.
Okay,
you don't want to miss it either. Stick around, because Richard Lowenstein is with us, Mr. Pie Michael Hutchins, in cinemas July 4.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
In cinemas July 4 is Mystify Michael Hutchins. You want to check this out. If you love In Excess, you love Australian music, it's one not to miss. Directed by Richard Lowenstein, who's our special guest in studio on Kennedy Malloy.
We were all taken aback when we discovered in Australia that Michael Hutchins and Kylie Minogue were dating. Personally, I thought
I held grave fears for that young girl.
Well, we thought it was an unusual match for many reasons. She was the pop soapy star, and Michael was the credible rock musician.
Pure rock star.
Pure rock star. I find it amazing in this documentary how it's handled, how Kylie tells their story, and it actually is a beautiful love story that evolves very organically.
It is, yeah. It's I mean, you know, I when he rang me and said, "Guess who I'm dating?" I was incredibly jealous.
She's a little hottie, you got to say, when you see her in this.
And that was like part of Michael's. You know, he liked to show off. It was amazing, like meeting up with her. I mean, I knew her obviously when they were together, and I went on holidays once. I was the third wheel in a holiday.
But how did Kylie feel?
She appears
on the documentary, her voice, and she is reflecting on her time with Michael. It's very personal.
Absolutely. And a lot of that came from the initial interview I did with her. She agreed to be interviewed, and then we just went into a studio, much like this one, and talked for 3 hours. And by the end of it, she realised she was in safe hands.
Yes.
And the old friendship sort of came back too from 20 years earlier. Mm. And then she said, you know, come round to my house on the way home. You know, I was flying out the next day. And so we dropped round, me and Mortal dropped round to the Kylie mansion, and she just opened up a laptop and showed me all this amazing footage.
From her explanation,
the faxes
that they had, makes sense, their relationship, when you see them, because they're both incredibly high profile and they had each other's best interests at heart.
And it's a life-changing a moment for her.
It was for her as a woman growing, and her respect and love for Michael's very clear, but she admits and says, he broke my heart.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it wasn't a terrible, it wasn't acrimonious, it's just time to move on.
She's probably not the Lone Ranger in that department when it came to Michael Hutchins, I would imagine.
No, but he had
beautiful footage of her. Yeah. She looks so young and fresh-faced, but they had a wonderful life together, unbeknownst to us, the mere public, before it all broke out.
Yeah. They had this, you know, the incredible time in the south of France. When Michael first had had money to actually splurge. You know, splurge, and they went house hunting together, and then next thing you know, he's got a villa in the south of France. And
I love and hate this man all at the same time.
Richard, you're talking about a guy who's larger than life, who loves life, who's can take it all on, and he had the world at his feet. He had the biggest band in the world, his beautiful women, everything was going in the right direction. And then there was a life-changing event. Can you talk us through that moment?
There was. I mean, he told me about it initially, but he didn't tell me what really went on. And he was on a Copenhagen push bike, you know, one of those black ones, eating a slice of pizza.
Now, this is when he's hooked up since with Helena Christensen. Yeah, this is a few years later.
He'd broken Kylie's heart. Which she tells in graphic detail, very openly, honestly. And then he'd gotten with Helena, and very early on in their relationship, they were just pedaling home one night in Copenhagen. They were there because Helena was doing a lot of work there. And he got king hit by a taxi driver. No, he didn't aggravate the taxi driver. He was from behind.
It was out of the blue.
It was out of the blue because the bike was in the way in this narrow laneway. And Helena actually was looking the other way, and she spins around and sees him basically on the ground. His head had hit the pavement, and she thought he was dead. There was blood coming out of the nose and ear, and they call an ambulance and everything. The taxi driver disappears, and she was left with what she thought was her dead boyfriend. And then, you know, he comes alive in the hospital and starts ranting and raving, and things were never quite the same.
Well, he checked himself out of the hospital. He didn't want to be there. Now, that's probably, I don't know whether the damage was done. He came home to recuperate, but he was never the same again.
Well, you lose your sense of smell and taste. And now, it sounds now, like a small thing, but
severed,
if you, imagine that, there's your enjoyment of life.
This is a guy who gave
you two of your five senses that are no longer at your disposal.
And he was such a sensual guy that was so important to. He gave Kylie Minogue the book Perfume. That's how important it was.
Oh, and he would talk, and the set of Dogs in Space, he would tell us about this book Perfume and everything, and it's like, and he goes around murdering young girls. I'm going, oh, great, that's not fun. But he smelled, you know, he was obsessed.
He's passionate.
He was obsessed with smell. And Kylie, some of the Kylie footage was him talking about smell.
So this is why it's so sad. And from that moment, people said Michael changed forever and he became a darker person.
Absolutely,
and a bit more aggressive.
Yeah.
And the people think he literally probably was so concussed and had some terrible
Well, he should
injury.
Have been. He should have been under sedation and with blood thinning drugs and taking the pressure off.
And it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. He was locked up in a up in a room in Copenhagen.
All right. Well, this is where it does start to take a turn a bit, the story, and we'll get to that.
Amazing.
After this. What's the song we're going to play?
Never Tear Us Apart.
Never Tear Us Apart. This was one you collaborated with again?
We did this in Prague, yes.
Wow.
Some terrible locations.
Amazing clip.
We have all the behind-the-scenes footage in the film.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
If you'd like to have a chat with Richard, maybe you've got a question you'd like to ask, 133353.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Richard Lowenstein, Never Tear Us Apart from NXS with one of the most iconic video clips of all time.
Wonderful.
Directed by the man in studio, Richard Lowenstein, as well. Just beautiful.
Top shelf. Richard, as the story moves on, we're getting to the end game, which was when the wheels fell off in his personal life and his relationship with Paula Yates, the struggles with Bob Geldof, the pressure he was under at that time. And I remember I was in London at the time with some friends, and we actually went round to Michael and Paul's house. And I remember got to the doorstep, and as I walked in, he went, shh, and he pointed to the roof. And I go, what's going on? And he was convinced his house was bugged, and he was convinced, and he was convinced the phone was tapped because all the tabloids were getting information that were just impossible. Oh, by the way,
well, sorry, as we find out later, they probably were tapped because
absolutely.
That's what the tabloids did.
And I just can only imagine living in that scenario. And he said, you know, for someone who I'm guessing took drugs from time to time, he said they couldn't keep anything in the house, they couldn't do anything because the children's welfare was at stake, and at that stage. They would have looked for anything to say you can't, you're unfit to be parents. So I could only imagine the pressure of that environment at that time and how that may have affected how he ended up feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought he was paranoid about the phone tapping because he told me that too, and then it turns out later, News of the World, Murdoch, phone tapping.
That was the de rigueur.
He had every right to be paranoid. And at that time too, that was the height of paparazzi hideous behaviour in the UK.
Absolutely, yeah. And, I mean, they were just tortured and hounded by the press in a merciless... And we kept a lot of the revolting headlines out of the film because it was a just...
Well, there's no need because there's enough we were aware of it. But it's when things went... when Paula ended up in court, faced with the threat of losing her children, and that really sent Michael over the edge.
Absolutely. And I think I remember during that time, I think it was the opium found in the Smarties, which was seems like a total setup. I was with him in Melbourne and he wasn't allowed to go out to a nightclub in case the paparazzi would film him or shoot him, and then that would go against him in the custody battle and all this sort of stuff.
There's a few people who I don't think behaved very well around that time. We won't go into it. Do you miss him? Do you really miss him? Do you think about him all the time?
Good question.
Not all the time, but it's like Michael appeared over the 15 years every 3 months or so. And so you sort of every 3 months or so, you still wake up and you go, oh, he should be ringing me around about now, and there's that. He's not, you know.
I get the impression he was great company. He loved family. He loved close-knit friends.
Absolutely,
And relied on that loyalty.
And he wasn't all the cliches that you see in the media and the press and even the dramatisations. There was no sort of throng of miniskirts.
No entourage.
Girls. There was no entourage. I mean, sometimes you think people look at entourage and say, oh, that's Michael because he's got long hair.
Right.
You know? But it's, he preferred to sit there and talk about art and politics and stuff till 4 a.m.
He was a smart guy.
He was. So here's one thing that I'm left with after watching the movie, Richard. I was expecting to feel really sad and depressed, but I didn't feel like that. I'll tell you why. I felt uplifted. I miss him. I loved his music, but I feel lucky that we had him to give us this gift and in excess.
Absolutely. And I mean, think there was very many versions of the film, and some of them you felt like you were hit by a truck and you're just going, oh, that's it. But we had to... We had to get that balance right, so that his spirit, you know,
it's uplifting. Actually, I have to say,
lifted you up at the end. Yeah.
Well, I miss him anyway, and I hardly knew the guy. Yeah. I miss his work.
Well, I miss him because I think he'd find me quite attractive at this stage of my life.
You know what? I have to say, I've got a soft spot for a loose cannon.
Yeah.
I've got a soft spot for anyone who doesn't always swim between the flags. And that guy was a brilliant company, a great performer, a great artist.
Yeah.
And you've made a very great piece. I can't wait to see the whole thing myself.
Oh, thank you.
And good on you, Richard. You're a good friend, and I hope it all works out for you. We're going to sign off now because we're almost out of time.
And we've covered most of the questions that people have asked,
That's right.
So thank you very much for calling up, everyone.
Yes. Mystify, when's
it opening? Cinemas July 4th. And for all those people that rung up and are on hold, didn't get through, we're going to give you a couple of passes to go see the documentary on our behalf as well.
There it is.
In Cinemas July 4th, Richard Lowenstein, Catch That, Mystify, Michael Hutchins,
you,
Kennedy Malloy.
Thank you.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong? This is Kennedy Malloy.
Well, thanks to Lucruf, it's an industry super fun to benefit members. PDS available at lucrf.com.au.
Well done, Lucruf, and all who sails upon her.
Do you know, it's a great time of year to sign up. If you're not a member already, why don't you sign up today?
By the way, just...
There's so many reasons why. We've got a list of them. It's 10 miles long.
Well,
one of the first things is because if you've been employed and you want to move and change jobs,
it's
and
easy.
You go, what's going to happen to my Zuba?
Easy peasy,
it's easy
Japanese.
To do it with this.
You do it with Lucruf. Yep. Off they go with you. They'll probably help you pack your bags.
They probably will. And if you've got any questions,
they'll put your photos up on your desk.
Well, they will. Give
I know,
them a
call. That's what they do.
They will tell you and help you because they're not going to give you bad advice.
Guess how many participating employers, Jane Kennedy?
130,000.
10? How many?
23,000.
Get out.
No.
Get out.
Why would I make that up?
Well, that's a good sign, isn't it?
Flexible insurance. Hello. How many times have you heard me say that's what you need?
Every day in my life I go, what do I want today? Well, I wake up in the morning, I say, all I want is some flexible insurance. Can I have that?
Can I tell you what else they do? And no one else goes this far.
All right.
The full nine yards.
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
Education. They will actually explain to you what the hell is going on. You don't just sign it over and let it go and then find out down the track what's going on. They will educate you. They will keep you informed.
I'm concerned a lot of people don't have super.
Well, you're an idiot. Seriously, you're not going to make it.
But don't think you have to put in $10,000.
I'll put it to you now.
Relax, everyone.
That you will not make it if you don't have super.
It's very important.
You're not going to get a pension that's going to get you across the line.
And don't worry about the figures.
This.
It doesn't have to be ridiculous. It's about the cost of a cup of coffee.
You
a
might
week.
Win
what
tax.
Do you reckon?
Mm. There's always that. But
oh, well, don't get people's hopes up.
And you know what I love above all else about
what's that, mate?
They advertise on the arse of jockeys. Yeah.
Well, see, that's got you over the line, hasn't it? If it's anything you love, it's the jockey's arse.
Yeah. They had me at.
Well, it's lucky that it's a short acronym, LUCRF, because jockeys' asses are pretty small.
That's right. The first time I saw Lucruf in a photo finish, I went,
all right.
That's the
everybody,
super for
we're
me.
Directing you to the website, lucrf.com.au.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
By the way, we just had Richard Lowenstein. If you've just tuned in, you want to grab the podcast, listen to him. He directed
the Mystify
movie.
That'll just
You'll
be
really cool. love it. I've had the privilege of being able to see it, and it's going to go out to how many
cinemas? It's been the soundtrack of my adult life. They were, you know, I remember seeing them at the Pier Hotel with,
Aussie Crawl, Flowers, how about Wembley?
Midnight Oil.
And then they go to the States.
Yeah, I stood in a room with about 200 people and watched them play at one stage.
And great musicians, great Michael's voice.
I would have been a good replacement. Me and Leather Pants.
Oh my God.
Me and leather pants.
You did own leather pants. Your hairdresser's leather pants you bought them from.
I put my front left foot on the speaker stack.
Oh, yeah.
Double handed mic.
Look at you got swagger.
Over.
I know the Farris brothers would stop that. There'd be an injunction.
I'll have a word to them.
No, they won't like it.
Hey, can you tidy yourself up? We're off to dinner with the boss.
What do you mean? I am tidied up. Don't you like my new dress?
I want to get the brush. You got headphone hair.
I know I do. Actually, I do have to put, I've got to put eyeshadow. I've got to put some eyelashes on.
Okay.
Can you wait before you take me?
Cans out too.
I beg your pardon.
We're the boss. We've got to do everything
we can. You've already said I And listen, I want to get this straight. I have not tried to pash my boss. Please, that is just a terrible thing to accuse me of.
Hey, we'll
hashtag
be right.
Me too.
We'll be right.
Keep yourself nice and you're not going to the titty bar afterwards.
ten lobsters I'm going to order.
Stop
10
it.
Lobsters.
See you tomorrow, everyone.
Can't wait to hear what happens. Tomorrow's Kennedy Malloy.
Now that the Kennedy Malloy podcast is all done, time to think about tracking down that lost super. Industry Superfund Lucraft Super can help you do it. Read the PDS at lucrf.com.au.